1 Timothy 2 instructs us to pray for those who are in authority over us. In America, we not only have the right to pray, but also the right and responsibility to vote. How do you know which candidate will uphold biblical values, though? FloridaVotesValues.com now has local voter guides available in several counties. Visit FloridaVotesValues.com to learn where the candidates stand on life, liberty, marriage, sex ed, transgender bathrooms, taxes, the Second Amendment, critical race theory, defund the police, and more. Again, visit FloridaVotesValues.com.
Welcome to The Lighthouse, a ministry of Covenant Tabernacle World Outreach Center. And now for today's message, here's Associate Pastor Brian Longworth.
Well, the primary is over and the general election is at hand. And this week, some people will be voting by mail. And I do want to encourage you to review what the Bible has to say about issues that we face in our country and in our state and in our counties and our cities. And I want to encourage you, you can go to our church website, covenanttabernacle.com, and review our biblical principles series that I preached a few months ago. And you can actually go to covenanttabernacle.com or our church YouTube channel, Covenant Tabernacle, or our church Facebook page, Covenant Tabernacle World Outreach Center. I would also encourage you to go to FloridaVotesValues.com, where you can see voter guides for, in some cases, in some counties, local elections. We also have links for federal and state candidates as well. And today, we're going to actually go over the, and by the way, that address again is FloridaVotesValues.com. Today we're going to go over the proposed constitutional amendments that will be on the ballot. And one of the things that's kind of nice this year is that there's only three constitutional amendments proposed. And some years we've had 12 proposed, I think, one year. So there's only three today, or three this year. So we'll be able to spend a little bit more time going over some of the biblical principles. We're going to attempt to apply biblical principles to these proposed constitutional amendments to come up with some idea of how we should vote and what position we should take on these. And for the ballot language, the ballot summary, and what a yes vote means, what a no vote means, I'm actually quoting from the James Madison Institute Amendment Guide, and we'll have a link to that guide on our website. It really doesn't take positions. It just tells you what each side would mean. But the first, Amendment 1, we're going to go over Amendment 1 and Amendment 3 together because they both deal with property taxes, and then we'll go over Amendment 2 separately. So Amendment 1, limitation on the assessment of real property used for residential purposes. The ballot language is proposing an amendment to the state constitution effective January 1, 2023, to authorize the legislature by general law to prohibit the consideration of any change or improvement made to real property used for residential purposes to improve the property's resistance to flood damage and determining the assessed value of such property for ad valorem taxation purposes. This was actually placed on the ballot, as all of the three were placed on the ballot, by the Florida State Legislature. What the vote means: a yes vote on this measure authorizes the state Florida State Legislature to pass laws prohibiting flood resistance improvements to residential properties from being considered when determining that residential property's assessed value for property taxes. A no vote on this amendment permits flood resistance improvements to residential property to continue to be considered when determining that residential properties assessed value for property taxes. So the pros to this are And this, again, is from the Madison Institute. Florida is uniquely at risk of flooding and sea level rise. Of course, that happens with hurricanes as well. Supporters of this amendment argue that it will not only protect homeowners who take proactive measures to protect their property from flooding, but it will also reward and incentivize them to do so. This bipartisan amendment received 98.33% approval in the Florida House of Representatives and 100% approval in the Florida State Senate in 2021. The cons, or the opponents would argue, that prohibiting these improvements from being considered in the assessed value for property tax would ultimately reduce the amount of ad valorem taxes that could be collected to fund services by local governments. This reduction is minimized or minimal, but should be noted. The constitutional merit, by the way, this is the case for all three of the constitutional amendments, proposed constitutional amendments. The constitutional merit, this measure is not a reform that can be addressed by the state legislature and thus requires a constitutional ballot initiative in order to be implemented. So we're also going to read the summary, ballot summary of Amendment 3, and then we'll talk about some biblical principles here. So Amendment 3 is additional homestead property tax exemption for certain or for specific critical public service workforce. The language is such, proposing an amendment to the state constitution to authorize the legislature by general law to grant an additional homestead tax exemption for non-school levies of up to $50,000 of the assessed value of homestead property owned by a classroom teacher, law enforcement officer, correction officer, firefighter, emergency medical technician, paramedics, child welfare services professional, active duty member of the United States Armed Forces, and Florida National Guard members. This amendment shall take effect January 1st, 2023. Obviously, the amendments would go on the ballot, and if passed, they would take effect then. A yes vote on this amendment authorizes the Florida legislature to provide an additional homestead property tax exemption of $50,000 of assessed value on property owned by certain public service workers, including teachers, law enforcement officers, emergency medical personnel, active duty members of the military, and Florida National Guard, and child welfare service employees. A no vote opposes authorizing the Florida legislature to provide an additional homestead exemption of $50,000 of assessed value on property owned by certain public service workers. So the pros of this, every primary residence in Florida is eligible for homestead tax exemption of $25,000. An additional homestead exemption of $25,000 is available on the property's value between $50,000 and $75,000, bringing the total possible homestead tax exemption for a primary residence in Florida to $50,000. This amendment would authorize an additional homestead property tax exemption of $50,000 on the property's value between $100,000 and $150,000, only for primary residences owned by qualifying public service workers. Supporters of this amendment contend that given the increased home value and property taxes, certain public service workers deserve a tax break. They argue that because these specific categories of public service workers sacrifice much to protect our state, we should help ensure that they can afford to keep their homes. This amendment is consistent with the House's commitment to affordable housing. The cons are this. The revenue Revenue Estimating Conference estimated that approval of this amendment would reduce local property tax revenue, except school tax, school district tax revenue, by $85.9 million beginning in the fiscal year 2023 through 2024. Therefore, opponents of this measure argue that the exemption would greatly jeopardize the fund's ability for local government services, while not guaranteeing that public service workers can even purchase a home, much less afford to keep them. In addition, some would contend that this amendment would be a case of creating tax policy that favors specific groups over others, rather than providing an additional exemption to select public service workers. Florida should look to lower property taxes for all homestead property. And of course, that's the con on this. That's the con argument on this. So we're going to look at the Bible and see really what the Bible says about property taxes. And I believe we're going to have some time today to actually go over, for the first time ever, the very first instance, historic account of property taxes, and really where it comes from, the root of that. And you'll see that it actually comes out of government, a socialistic program that is actually the only socialistic government program that you'll see in the Bible. And even though it was run by the wisest person that was alive at that time, it did actually resulted in the enslavement of an entire nation. So we're going to read about this. We're going to study this. And first of all, we're going to look at what the Bible says in 1 Samuel chapter 8, verses 15 through 17. This is God's warning to the children of Israel when they were entering the promised land, but when they asked for a king, God said, this is what's going to happen. He will take a tenth of your grain and your vintage and give it to his officers and servants. He will take a tenth of your sheep, and you will be his servants. So God here is defining tyranny as 10% taxation. Now, if you look at you think about all the taxes that you pay, I think you'll be amazed. You pay federal tax. You pay payroll tax. If you are an employer, you also pay unemployment tax. If you're an employee, your employer is paying unemployment tax on your behalf, and that increases the cost of you working there, which decreases the amount that you can actually earn. You also pay sales tax in our state. We don't have a state income tax, but some people in some states have a state income tax. There's even some cities that have their own city income tax. We also pay property tax, which is what this amendment deals with. And we pay taxes on, if you have telephone service, you're going to pay taxes on that service. Internet service, you're going to pay taxes on that. If you pay taxes with your power, you pay taxes with your television bill, you pay taxes to register your vehicle, and that's an annual tax. If you want to go fishing, for crying out loud, you have to pay taxes to go fishing. If you have public utilities, as far as public water and sewer, you're paying taxes. It's kind of a hidden tax, even though it's not called a tax. The government actually makes money off of that, which then reduces the amount that they can collect, that they need to collect otherwise. Really, what it doesn't reduce, it just gives them more money to spend, because most government officials don't want to live by this 10%. Imagine if all of our taxes could be less than 10%. Well, at the founding of this country, 10% was thought to be an absurd amount that the government would require, so much so that Benjamin Franklin in Poor Richard's Almanac said this: it would be a hard government that would tax its people one-tenth part of their income. So it was thought of as God defines tyranny as 10% taxation. At the founding of the country, Benjamin Franklin said, you know, it would be a hard government that would require 1/10 part of someone's income. And you also see that really rulers should live within their means. We should be asking our local officials, our state officials, our national officials to reduce the size and scope of government, because this is really what you see in the Bible. I should do what I can do for myself. My family should be the next measure, method of or the next place where I look to. You then have the church. You also have private charity, and really, it's in very, very limited settings that the government should get involved in providing anyone sustenance. And of course, really, that should be for those people that are working for the government in protecting our nation from in the armed services, or working in the police force or the judicial system. Really, that's what you see biblical authorization for. The government today does so much that they really don't need to do. Even to the point, if you don't mow your grass near your ditch, at least in my county, in my city, the government will actually come by and mow it for you. Of course, they're paying someone. They're paying a lawn service to go and do that. And it just boggles my mind. Why in the world can't people mow their own grass, or pay someone else to mow their grass? This is really just common sense. I mean, you can mow the rest of your lawn. Why couldn't you mow it near the ditch? Well, so you see the government doing so much that really is not required and shouldn't be done by the government. And you see this larger amounts of taxation and larger amounts of spending. One of the issues with property tax, I oppose all property tax, and I am of the opinion that really we should actually reduce property tax and even eliminate property tax. The government is an unjust form of taxation. And why would I say that it's an unjust form of taxation? Well, it's an unjust form of taxation because that what you have here is you have the Bible puts a big emphasis on property rights, and government and rulers should actually protect property rights. In Deuteronomy chapter 19, verse 14, we read, "He shall not remove your neighbor's, you shall not remove your neighbor's landmark, which the men of old have set in your inheritance, which you inherit in the land that the Lord your God is giving you to possess." So here we see that the people shouldn't remove that landmark. What does that mean? What does it mean to remove a landmark? Well, that's the property barriers. You should own your property. And the thing is, if you don't pay your property taxes, the government will take your property and they'll sell it to someone else. They'll hold an auction. You know, if it's homesteaded, they won't do it while you're alive. But once you die, and you know, if you're married, your spouse dies as well. Well, that property tax is either going to need to be paid, or the property is going to be taken, and your descendants will not inherit that land. And so this whole idea of property tax comes from the idea that the government owns the land and we are just temporarily using it. But that is not a biblical principle. What you'll see in the Bible is that the earth is the Lord's. In Psalm 24:1, the earth is the Lord's in all its fullness, the world and those who dwell therein. In Psalm 50, verse 12, we read, "If I were hungry, I would not tell you, for the world is mine in all its fullness." So we see that really the land belongs to God, not to the government. So the government really doesn't have the right, or shouldn't have the right, to tax you for land that you own. Even if you pay your mortgage, a lot of people buy homes with a mortgage. Even if you pay your mortgage off, you still don't really own your land, because if you stop paying your taxes, again, at least when you die, the land will be taken from you. In Genesis chapter 47, we'll see actually the very first instance of property taxes. And what happened was Egypt, of course, Pharaoh had this dream, and Joseph was in prison at the time. And Pharaoh had a dream that there were seven fat cows, and then there were seven skinny cows, and the seven skinny cows ate the fat cows, and they were still skinny. And this dream indicated 7 years of plenty followed by 7 years of famine. And the 7 years of famine would be great, so great that people would starve to death if something wasn't done. So you actually see the only instance of socialism authorized by God in the Bible, and you see the wisest person alive at that time set up to run that, Joseph, who interpreted the dream and came up with a plan that a portion of the produce for those first 7 years would be stored up, and that would be used to keep people alive the next 7 years. And so what happened was the people gave their produce, and we know that when the 7 years of famine came, the people were hungry. So what they did is they went to Joseph, and they used their money to buy back food that they had given to Pharaoh. And then their money was gone. So they came and they sold their livestock to Joseph. And then they came back and they still were hungry, and the famine was still going on, and so they sold their land to Pharaoh. And from that point on, and you can read about this in Genesis chapter 47, verses 13 through 26, and what you'll see is that from that point on, they tilled their land, they farmed it, and they brought 20% of that to Pharaoh. And so from that point on, they were servants. They even say this. They say in verse 25, "You have saved our lives. Let us find favor in the sight of my Lord, and we will be Pharaoh's servants." So here you see the only example of socialism that is actually authorized by God in the Bible, run by the wisest person living at that time, still resulted in the enslavement of an entire nation. And really ironic there. So from that time on, 1/5 part of the produce went to Pharaoh. Now, really, this is why I'm against all property taxes. However, when you start saying, well, some people can get certain exemptions, and then other people aren't going to get those exemptions, one of the things that happens is you start segmenting. And so you have different people living sometimes next door to each other, paying large, greatly different amounts of taxes. If you bought your house 20 years ago, 40 years ago, you're going to pay a much lower tax than if you bought your house today, when houses are maybe $300,000 versus $40,000 or $60,000 or $80,000 20 or 40 years ago. So there's a big difference in the amount that people are paying in taxes today. And what happens when you're not paying very much? Well, you're not going to go and complain about spending. You're not going to go and actually ask the government to reduce the amount of money that they're taking. And so really, typically, I'm against these amendments that actually would increase the amount of exemption for certain people, but not for everyone. And of course, if we're looking at law enforcement, we're looking for those that are serving in the military. Well, they're the most deserving of an extra break, but still, they're going to be less likely to go and protest. And in fact, if they're getting their money from the government, that's how they earn their living, Well, those that are serving in the police force and whatnot, they're really going to be less likely to go and protest because, you know, that's their livelihood. That's where they make their money. So really, I'm really opposed to these two amendments because of that. We'll quickly go over the Second Amendment, which the Second Amendment is the abolition of the Constitutional Revision Committee. Now, the abolition of the Constitutional Revision Committee, the Constitutional Revision Committee was actually created by a resolution from the state legislature and was then put on the ballot, and people voted for it and created this. It actually meets every 20 years. There's 37 members. I believe 9 of them are appointed by the governor. Actually, the governor appoints 15 of them. The Senate president appoints 9. The Speaker of the House appoints 9. The Chief Justice of the Florida Supreme Court appoints 3. And then also you have the Florida's Attorney General that sits on this. Really, this is kind of a position where, you know, sometimes there are good people that serve there. I don't want to mean, and, you know, John Stenberger served there from the Florida Family Policy Council. But, you know, it's not really a commission where the people's voice will be heard. It's a commission where the governor and the legislature, the House, Speaker of the House, the Speaker, the Senate President can appoint their buddies, their campaign finance people, the people that have scratched their back, the people that they like, the people that they believe will advance their agenda, as opposed to the people being involved. So I am actually going to oppose this. I believe that the Bible says, if you look at the Bible says that, first of all, we should look and select leaders that are God-fearing people and to rule over us. And secondly, that our laws should be based on the Bible. And we really should be looking at having elected officials and holding them accountable, as opposed to electing people and then allowing them to appoint others to do what they aren't willing to do. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make His face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up His countenance upon you and give you peace.
You've been listening to The Lighthouse, a ministry of Covenant Tabernacle in Port St. Lucie, Florida. Join us each Sunday morning for The Lighthouse. If you've been blessed by this broadcast, visit www.covenanttabernacle.com, where you can give us feedback and make a donation.
First Timothy 2 instructs us to pray for those who are in authority over us. In America, we not only have the right to pray, but also the right and responsibility to vote. How do you know which candidate will uphold biblical values, though? FloridaVotesValues.com now has local voter guides available in several counties. Visit FloridaVotesValues.com to learn where the candidates stand on life, liberty, marriage, sex ed, transgender bathrooms, taxes, the Second Amendment, critical race theory, defund the police, and more. Again, visit FloridaVotesValues.com.
Crown Him the Lord of life. crown in the Lord of Lords.